This is Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 31st. I'm Kimberly Adams in for Ben Johnson. When Instagram launched its Stories feature last year, the term copycat got thrown around quite a lot. That's because the feature was so close to what made Snapchat famous. Now, more people are using Instagram Stories than Snapchat, and Instagram's CEO is tired of being called names. At least that's what he said in an interview this week. But it got us to thinking, what's the difference between copying someone's tech versus just building on it and innovating? We decided to pick the brain of Paul Kedrowski of SK Ventures about this idea. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty well, thanks. So Kevin Systrom, CEO and co-founder of Instagram, has been criticized for copying Snapchat. In a recent Wall Street Journal interview, he says he isn't copying. He's just building upon a technology. What do you make of this?
So this is one of the oldest debates in technology. And I often simplify it to, you know, innovation is what we do and copying is what all those bad guys who are trying to imitate what we do, that's what they do. But in this case, I think it's perfectly justified that, you know, Systrom, the founder of Instagram, is saying there's a bunch of features that showed up first in Snapchat that are perfectly great features and belong inside of Instagram as well. But on the other hand, it's, you know, if you're a Snapchat user or you're one of the Snapchat founders, you're saying to yourself, hey, hang on a minute, we came up with this first. And so there's this constant, you know, back and forth tension about, is it flattery? Is it a cover version? Or is it just outright theft?
He gave the example in that Wall Street Journal interview of Ford and the Model T.
Right. Ford and the Model T is sort of a classic example. People love to point to things like, Edison and the light bulb or even the iPhone. You know, people forget that most of the features that were in the original iPhone weren't there for the first time. So, for example, you know, having apps on phones showed up in other phones first. Having touchable interfaces showed up in other phones first. They just did a better job of knitting them together, which is, in a sense, what Kevin Systrom is arguing here, that Instagram is doing a better job of knitting all those features together and tying them back into this very, very popular product called Instagram.
Paul, you are a venture capitalist. Part of your job is to evaluate startups and their chances of success. But from where you sit, where does innovation end and copying begin?
It really comes down to newness. So if something is new, it's innovative. And specifically, if it's new to your users, it may exist somewhere else in the world, but if it's new to our users, that's innovative and we should get it to them.
Paul Kedrowski of SK Ventures, thank you so much.
Sure. Glad to help.
So what do you think? Which moves in tech are copying and what's innovation? Tweet at us. We're at Marketplace Tech and I'm at @KA_Marketplace.
Hi, it's Ben Brock Johnson. Marketplace is here because these days it's essential to have an independent source explaining how the economy really works, not just for CEOs, but for everyone. Your support keeps this kind of reporting coming, and it's especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. Visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us in your world every day. And thanks.
So sticking with the theme of copying versus innovation, Facebook is jumping on the online TV bandwagon. Reuters had an exclusive report that the social media company is working on deals to add scripted shows to the platform. For more on this, I'm joined by Alexia Clincy, Executive Director of Capitalize Social. Hi, Alexia.
Hi, Kimberly. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. So Facebook is reportedly looking at developing scripted TV. What does that mean and what's it going to look like?
Well, they've been working on figuring out how to best take advantage of this video tab that they've added as early as last year. At first, they were trying to pay publishers to create content for the Facebook Live feature, but they didn't work out too well. So now it looks like they're going to have scripted content, which could similarly look like a Netflix or Hulu, something to that nature.
Who's the intended audience for this, though? Teenagers? Are they trying to woo them away from Snapchat?
Snapchat is having such growth with the teenage population, while Facebook is actually losing its users in that demographic. So some of the first TV shows that they're technically saying that they're going to start include like dating shows and things of that nature. So I think that they are hoping to hook in their more teenage audience.
To what extent is this just about keeping people in the Facebook ecosystem?
While keeping people in the Facebook ecosystem is important, let's also remember that Facebook is a business, and so at the same time, what they want to do is be able to generate even more money through this ad revenue. Video has been one of the most successful initiatives that they've added as of late, and so continuing to think of better ways to improve that is going to continue to do well for their business. And that's why they hired Ricky Van Veen to join the team last year. So his whole goal has been to figure out best practices for making the video functions a little bit more effective.
We were talking to one of our other guests earlier about sort of copying versus innovation in the tech space. And it seems like this is happening here. Is this Facebook trying to copy or is this something new?
Well, you know, what's very interesting about this is that actually the CEO of Netflix has been sitting on the board at Facebook since 2011. So it's really interesting. I wonder what information they've been sharing, but they may very well become competitors here. Netflix does focus on a subscription model, whereas Facebook wants to focus on bringing in ad revenue. So that's one of the biggest differences. Honestly, with TV viewership continuing to fall and continuing to just decrease, this is just kind of a smart move to at least test the playing field and see if they can be successful here.
Alexia Clincy is Executive Director of Capitalize Social. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kimberly, for having me.
Amazon stock topped $1,000 a share this week, hitting that mark even before Google's parent company, Alphabet. And you can now get your own slice of Amazon's billions if you were among those whose kids made unauthorized in-app purchases. The Federal Trade Commission says Amazon is now issuing refunds to customers who racked up more than $70 million in unauthorized charges between November of 2011 and May of last year. The FTC was pursuing a legal case against Amazon for this, but dropped the case as part of a deal. Customers who think they are due a refund can apply for one online. We'll have a link up on marketplacetech.org. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.